At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
This episode contains some disturbing content. Please be advised.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And I feel like I'm walking in super blind because I literally just typed in the name now.
Okay. So this case, I literally, first of all, I want you guys to know this. Amy hasn't even seen this yet. I made a poster board. Can you see this? Of all the cases we have covered.
Wow.
And I had to look through this twice to make sure because this name is so familiar to me.
Oh. Yeah, that's definitely happened before. And we have cases that have, you know, the same name or very similar names. I mean, obviously not their whole first name, their whole name in general, but that the first name is the same or the last name is the same.
Agreed. So, today we're going to talk about Ashley Summers.
Okay.
I think it's going to make you crazy.
I mean, they all do. What else is new? But I'm sure that this will be today's craziness.
Okay, so Ashley was born in June of 1993. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like she had a relationship with her dad. It sounds like mom was a single mom. And they lived in Cleveland, Ohio. But luckily, mom came from a huge extended family. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, etc. All in the same neighborhood, essentially. All within a mile or two of each other.
Oh my gosh, their houses must have been packed all the time.
Yes, I would say so too. So over the next few years of Ashley's life, her mom actually had 5 more children. And they were all half-siblings to her, so it sounds like that she didn't have a relationship with her dad.
Got it.
She was a pretty normal kid, had a big family that obviously she adored. It doesn't say a whole lot, but I want to go to 2007. This is the summer Ashley turned 13 to 14, okay?
Okay.
Now, I want you to think about this in the context of the parent, because I know that you have experienced this age.
Okay.
So she, maybe it says that she skipped school once toward the end of the school year. And that was not a great thing for mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But school year ended and now she was home and she helped her mom while her mom worked watching her younger siblings. And she thought she was a grown adult.
I could see why she would think that.
And she thought she was slick. Now, 13-year-old Ashley has started dating a boy from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Gene, and he's 16 years old.
Not that I loved what I already heard, but I'm getting concerned.
So he's 16, and she's home alone with her siblings during the day. So he's coming over some.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her little siblings rat her out to mom.
Okay. As they should.
Right. I agree. Mom, not impressed. Okay?
Right. I understand.
About the same time, mom notices an entire paycheck is missing in cash from her dresser drawer where she kept the cash.
Oh, no.
So mom is like, I'm at my wit's end, right? Like, this is all crashing in. So Ashley gets home and mom discovers where her money went. Ashley had a brand new tattoo of her boyfriend's name.
Who's giving tattoos to a 13-year-old?
Well, she had just turned 14 now. She turned 14 in June.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we are a full adult now.
Okay.
Mom calls her mom, Ashley's grandmother, and is like, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do anymore. Mm-hmm. So they decide that Ashley's going to go spend a few weeks at her grandmother's house. Number one, Ashley won't act out for grandma. And number two, it's not the same neighborhood as her boyfriend.
Right, but I'm not claiming to be super smart, but that usually doesn't solve deep-seated issues.
I think it was designed to be sort of a cooling off period.
I understand. Yes.
Yes. So grandma's like, of course, send on over to my house, whatever. And thankfully, Ashley's whole extended family believes it takes a village.
Yeah.
So she spends the next few weeks popping around between her mom, her grandmother, her uncle Kevin, who is the favorite uncle of all the cousins because he has no kids, so he has no rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then a cousin's house. So she kind of pops around to all these houses. But she talks to her mom every day. And all the adults are like checking in with mom too to be like, yep, she's here. We're good.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all in agreement that, like, they're just going to keep her out of trouble. Right? Well, on 4th of July, it's Uncle Keith's birthday. So they have a family cookout every year. And it's all family and family friends. And we celebrate Uncle Keith's birthday. And we celebrate the 4th of July. And it's just a big family party.
Sure.
Well, Ashley's mom can't go. But Ashley's still going to go because all of her cousins are going.
Yep.
She comes, seems to be in good spirits, in good mood. Everything seems to be perfectly normal. Now, here's where I want to say things are a little bit weird, because we all know the Charlie Project is our source of truth, right? Like, that's what we use as our basis for
a lot of the homework we do.
Right. Basically everything. Well, the Charlie Project says she disappeared July 9th. Now, then the FBI comes out and says she disappeared July 7th or 8th. But according to the family, the party was July 4th.
Is it 2007 or 2008?
2007. So she goes to this party. Now, I don't know if the actual party was the 7th or 8th, and that's why they're saying. But this party is one of the last times everyone sees her together.
Okay.
Now, I guess we'll just say there that she's never been seen again. Okay?
Okay.
So she leaves the party on July 4th around 6 p.m. And she says that she's going to go visit her aunt, Christina, who lives about a 10-minute walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Again, family's close. Everyone knows everything. Now, she doesn't actually make it to her aunt Christina's house. But because she had been bopping around, no one alerted her mom.
Right.
Everyone just kind of said, oh, she must be here. Oh, she must be here.
Right.
Finally, when they realized that, like, no one get a hold of her over the next day or two, someone talks to Uncle Kevin, which is where she was hanging out. And Kevin says, she was here. And we got in an argument because she was engaging in family gossip. And he went to grab her phone and it broke.
Oh, dear. That flip phone got snapped in half, I bet.
Yes, that's exactly right. The phone did snap in half. Now everyone's freaking out, right? Like, no one knows where she is. She doesn't have a phone. There's no way to contact anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So they call the police. Do you want to know what police said?
She probably just ran away.
She's been rebelling. She got a tattoo. She's been staying with family.
Mm. Right.
Mom doesn't really love this.
Don't either.
Right. But I want to remind you of something. This is the summer of 2007. in the summer of 2003 and then in 2004, Amanda Berry and Gina DeJesus vanished from Cleveland, Ohio in the same area.
Yeah.
So now everyone is kind of like, what do we do? Like, there's a lot of missing girls. And I'll just say right now, like, we know that in 2013, those women were recovered from the house. They were being held captive by Ariel Castro. We covered it on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Either way. But that was also a trigger, too, that's going on.
I see.
In August 2007, Mom gets a phone call from a blocked number. And the girl says, "Hey, it's me, Ashley. Don't worry, I'm safe." And before Mom can do anything, Ashley hangs up.
Okay.
And that's all that happens for 8 years.
Okay.
In 2015, there was an ATM footage in Rhode Island that law enforcement actually released, but it's not her. But law enforcement initially thought it was.
Okay.
Then in 2018, the FBI raided a house on Holden Avenue in Cleveland and did a dig, but found nothing. And I'll tell you the quote about that is, Special Agent Vicki Anderson said, quote, "We developed some information that brought us here," end quote.
Okay. Thank you for that. That was powerful information.
Very enlightening. Do you feel better now?
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
So that is really all until, I guess, until December of 18. So about a month after that dig, Ashley's uncle Kevin, the cool uncle, was arrested for nothing to do with Ashley's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it clear, police say he is not a suspect. But he, 2 years later, was pleaded guilty and was sentenced to rape, kidnapping, and assault of underage girls.
Get out!
Now, police have not announced he's a suspect in any way, shape, or form, but I feel like that's an important part of the story.
Please, I want all the details. Like, how do they... okay.
So that, because it's minors, a lot of it is sealed.
Yep.
So all we know is that he was charged with rape, attempted rape, gross sexual imposition, and kidnapping and assault, and he pled guilty. And it was over a period of, like, 20 years.
Trying real hard to not get sucked into just that.
I know. The first thing I did for this case was listen to a podcast, one that was super high level, and it's in my sources, and they kind of brushed over it. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. Back the train up. What?
Mm-hmm.
But again, law enforcement has never tied him to it.
Well, I'm sure it's just because they don't have any evidence thus far.
So do you want the...
Well, yeah.
Oh, and I want to be clear that Gene has been very involved with law enforcement, very helpful. Like, he was just a 16-year-old kid that was dating a 14-year-old girl.
Right. I have to be honest, I didn't think too much about that.
Okay. So do you want theories?
You bet I do.
There's three. Okay. One, she ran away. Two, foul play randomly because she was a kid running around Cleveland. Three, Uncle Kevin.
Okay. Now, go back to the phone call. What do you make of that?
If it was Ashley, I don't think it was Uncle Kevin.
Her mom is convinced it was her?
Her mom says it is. No one has confirmed it.
Okay, I mean, I don't think she ran away and stayed away all these years.
Why not?
I think there would have been a sighting. I think perhaps at some point she might have run out of money or something like that and said, I only have one choice, it's to go home. I mean, she could have been being abused by Uncle Kevin and ran away. That's the only way I can conceptualize that. But even as an adult, I would think she would contact her mom.
I would agree with you. And I guess I want to break down foul play into another category, too, and we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I don't think she ran away.
And again, it goes back to there's no sightings. There's been no sightings of her anywhere, right? To your knowledge?
Correct.
So, I don't know. That's a piece for me, too.
Okay. So, let's talk about... I want to break down foul play into four places, okay?
Oh, okay.
Foul play random. Foul play Uncle Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Foul play Ariel Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And then trafficking. She's a 14-year-old running around. Where do you want to start with that?
I mean, I don't think Ariel Castro for two reasons. I mean, he tends to hold his victims hostage.
What if she fought back and she died?
I mean, so that's possible. But the girls that were kidnapped and held hostage had knowledge of the other girls. So I think they could have said, you know, there had been other girls, we only met once, or, you know, she disappeared suddenly, or we knew her the whole time.
Okay. But what if she was... I mean, I likely agree with you. I just don't think that we have enough to completely rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. This is a sick, sick guy, capable of anything. But I still would think that it is not indicative of the pattern. So it's less likely for me.
Okay. Do you want to talk about trafficking?
Surprisingly, I don't think it's trafficking. Again, I give it probably the same likelihood of Ariel Castro, that there's a possibility, but I don't know how likely it would be. Sometimes we hear about people we theorize were trafficked and there's alleged sightings and stuff. We don't even have an alleged sighting here.
Okay. And that absolutely shocks me that you are willing to get rid of trafficking that fast.
Well, I think that if there wasn't an Uncle Kevin, that I would put a little bit more weight into that.
And I want you to know there's a Reddit post that says it was in the same area, Ariel Castro, but the woman had never seen Ashley, and police are confident in no more victims.
Okay. We're in agreement.
But that's a Reddit thread.
Right.
So do you want to talk random foul play?
I think that could have happened. That could have happened, kidnapped, perhaps assaulted, and then she was murdered.
I mean, I think it's totally possible.
It definitely could happen. A vulnerable young girl is walking alone. I do take into account that when she was walking home, it was likely daylight, correct?
Yes.
So it's someone, if that happened, it's someone confident, a little bit bold.
Okay.
But I do give that some weight.
I like it. I mean, I think so, too. I think that for me, well, let's go into Uncle Kevin, and then I'll tell you where I stand on, like, all of them.
Okay.
All right. So what are your thoughts on Uncle Kevin? If I hadn't have told you he was arrested for rape and all of those things, would you have focused on Uncle Kevin.
I don't know where my mind would have left me, but when you said he broke her phone, my first thought was, why are you grabbing a 13 or 14-year-old girl? Like, in anger, that's what I thought. Like, why are you grabbing her and her phone, and it's violent enough to have broken it? Listen, I had a flip phone. We all had, most of us had flip phones back then. And I'll tell you right now, my significant other dropped his when he was riding his motorcycle. It was open, and he ran over it with the motorcycle, and it still worked. It's not easy to break one, as you might think. So that was my first thought, and maybe I would have been led to that, but I did think that was a little bit eh.
I agree. So tell me what you think about Uncle Kevin now that you know what you know.
I wonder if he had been inappropriate for quite some time, which also added to this rebellious behavior, because it is trauma. It is abuse. You know, sometimes you behave in these ways because you don't know what to do with such a terrible thing to carry around. I wonder if on this occasion she was like, I'm going to call someone or whatever. And she took out her phone and she was like, I'm calling 911 or I'm calling my mom or whatever. And he ripped the phone.
Or grandma, his mom.
Any of that. Yes. And he ripped the phone out of her hand and purposely broke it so she could not. And perhaps forced himself on her and knew that he was in trouble. And he had to do something, or she was going to tell somebody about him.
So I actually agree with you.
I'm not surprised. I don't know. I don't want you to agree with me because that would mean it was true, or it's likely to be true, and I don't like that either.
I do want to bring up one other thing that I didn't mention earlier.
Okay.
Ashley's family put up posters all over the neighborhood, and the next morning they were all torn down.
Okay.
Which, to me, means it was probably someone that lived in the neighborhood or was familiar with it. Because if it was a random trafficker, they're not coming back to take down photos.
Right. And who is that mad at a 14-year-old girl that they would do that? Maybe it was the person that didn't want someone to go looking so soon. Maybe he hadn't done anything with evidence. If
it's Uncle Kevin and he hasn't, like, cleaned up his mess,
mm-hmm.
How does he know that no one is going to come over?
Well, maybe he temporarily put her somewhere else and that's why he didn't want people to go looking.
Now, I want to tell you also, the house they searched in 2018 is linked to him, but there was no evidence.
I want to know how the house was linked to him.
All they say is, I'm going to read you the exact article. FBI is acting on a tip digging up land on Train Avenue in a connection disappearance of Ashley Summers in 2007. The dig occurred in this address. And then we have that really enlightening quote that they have information that brought us there. They believe that she was last seen in this area. Now, and they did find bones, but they were animal bones. So I didn't give you that because I was like, I'm not going to make this salacious. Like, they dug up bones and then they were, you know what I mean? Like, I don't
right,
need to.
Right. Totally makes sense.
To do all that. Now, as for the connection to, and I think for me, I think what frustrates me about this so much is that everything I Google and read wants to link it to the Ariel Castro case. And, you know, like a whole section of that is of the Charlie Project page is about that case. And I don't understand why we are linking it if it's not a link.
Right.
Just because, well, it's salacious?
Maybe so. And I think it just sounds like the easiest thing. But I'm really on the uncle. And obviously, if it's not, you know the drill, and how we handle things like that. But, you know, here's why, too. So he's arrested, and he's charged with things that go back 20 years, right?
Right.
Longer than she's been gone. He didn't just wake up and become a pedophile. He's always been a pedophile. Ashley, sadly, is a, and I don't mean this in the way that it sounds, like the perfect victim for a pedophile. Because she is parentified at home. She doesn't have the 24-hour supervision, helicopter parents. She's lost. She's out there doing, quote-unquote, rebellious things. She's someone that could be taken advantage of. She's someone that might not be believed if she were ever to tell. She's someone that's maybe very easy to manipulate. And I don't think that if he tried something that day, it was the first time.
So you think you don't think it was the first time?
No. Mm-mm.
So part of me wonders if he did something inappropriate and she was going to text someone, then it all escalated, but not, he hadn't already been doing something. Maybe to her cousins, but no one ever came forward.
Maybe this was the first time, too, that she really stood up to him because she was like, I have a boyfriend that I love now, and I'm not going to let you do this to me anymore. Maybe she was even like, I'm going to tell my boyfriend.
Yeah, that's actually a really good theory.
So this angered him, or it put his quote-unquote safety, you know, him being able to hide his secret at risk. And he was going to stop it. And he grabbed the phone and broke it. And I don't know, maybe she got mad and fought back. Maybe he hit her too hard. Maybe he threw her in a room and locked her in there for a couple of... I mean, anything's possible at that point.
I agree that anything is possible. I hate it. Right? But I do think that, I don't know. I mean, they don't live in a good neighborhood, so it's not impossible to think about random foul play.
Right. But we're talking about a pedophile. Pedophiles thrive on access. He is looking at accessible young people in front of him. He's not going to go searching for it and do all this hard work when it's right in front of him. I always say sometimes the simplest solution is right in front of us, and it's what happened.
But Uncle Kevin admitted all of his wrongdoings in court, pled guilty, and has denied anything to do with Ashley.
Because that would be murder.
Oh, okay. Fair.
And he's only pleading guilty, I assume, because they actually have enough evidence to convict him. So he pleads guilty, but if no one has any evidence he did anything, why are you going to go confess to a crime that no one can prove?
I hate it.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Sorry. I think it's him, and I apologize in advance if someday we find out that it's not. Although, you're a pedophile, so I don't feel that bad.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, he's in jail for assault and sex crimes. So I'm okay with saying he's a piece of crap.
Yep.
And okay, he admitted to them.
Mm-hmm. And so I truthfully believe that's what happened, and it started with her making a threat or something. I'm going to out you. I'm not going to let you do this to me anymore.
Okay. Well, you want to open it up and see what everyone else thinks? I want to know what people think about the boyfriend or trafficking or random foul play or even her running away.
Yes, because I did quickly write them off, and I did kind of get tunnel vision when I heard this about Uncle Kevin. I admit it. I do. I can't avoid that. You're a pedophile. And a 13, 14-year-old girl goes missing and you're one of the last people to see her? What? So, yeah, if you disagree with me, give me all of the info.
But I want to talk about why are police still getting new tips and where are they coming from? Because if it's
tips
Kevin...
Tips come in all the time.
But if it's Kevin, no one probably knows.
Correct.
I don't know. I just feel like, how are they getting more tips if they're... I don't know.
Because people will call in the craziest of tips. They'll be like, I saw them dressed as Santa Claus working at the mall.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All right, let's open it up. Everyone tell us what you think.
All right.
And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.